Close that door, if you will, there. Billy, thank you so much. John 17. And then put your finger there and turn to Proverbs 3:6. Proverbs 3:6. John 17, then Proverbs 3:6. Do something a little different today. I'm going to pray before we read the scripture. I certainly need prayer today. I don't know about you. I'm going to preach a little different today. I'm not going to use a whole lot of scriptures. I'm going to try to stay in these two, but in John chapter 17, verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's the Lord praying for believers. Now turn to Proverbs 3. If you read the chapter 3 in Proverbs, it'll tell you how to live. I mean, really, your money and everything's in chapter 3. But I just want to start with verse 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In other words, put that in your life. Everything. Everything you say, you do, let it be. He's in it. Acknowledge him. And then, listen, not only that, but he says, and he shall direct thy path. Now that path is the way you walk every day. My wife and my grandson, Everett Jr. went walking in the woods yesterday and come out across a broom straw field. Y'all know what a broom straw field is. Not everybody in here is city folks, right? Anyway, broom straw field is what they used to make broom out of. It's usually brown. But when you walk through a broom straw field, anybody knows anything about putting out rabbit boxes? And so I can tell by looking at some of you, you don't even know what a rabbit box is. Lord help us. But anybody wants to catch rabbits, you put a trap, a rabbit box for them to go in and get trapped in on the path in a broom straw field, because it's easy to find their path. You can see little things they leave behind on the path. Yesterday we saw some things a deer left behind on the path. But that path, you can count on that rabbit to run that path. He's never going to leave that path unless something gets after him. He's born and raised on that path. He knows where there's food by following that path. He knows where there's safety by following that path. He knows where there's pleasure by following that path. And it says right here that if we'll in all our ways acknowledge him, admit him, talk about him, he will direct thy path. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, and I've got a 3-page sermon. But don't get too excited. That's how big my pages are today. And I changed my sermon this morning, to be honest with you. And I tried to obey the Lord. So I had what I thought was a good one. He said that wasn't good enough. And so I'm just going to obey him. I'm going to follow him. So here's what I got thinking about these scriptures. What to do as a believer now. What to do. Now, if you're not a believer, you're going to think I'm crazy. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, on our salvation, our eternal life, what to do in a fallen world?
Yes.
What do I do, Lord? What I do? There's some strange things going on, Lord. There's some strange people. There's some strange activities. Lord, how do I live? How do I follow your path and acknowledge you? So you can direct me on the path you want me to go. You may even change my path. And he's changed a lot of our paths. So that's my title. What to do in a lost world. Write that down. What to do in a lost world. Now, number one, the answer is we got saved, we got born again, and we're kept by the Word of God. The Word of God is what brought us to the Savior. The Word of God is what convicted us. The Word of God is what converted us. The Word of God is what converts us, and also it comforts us, the Word of God. So as a Christian, in order to acknowledge Him in all my paths, the only way I'm going to know what He wants me to do in a lost and fallen world is by reading what He says. That's my signs on the path, what He says.
Right.
And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The more you read it, the more faith you got. I'm just sorry for the people that say they're believers and don't read it. Because they're taking off on different paths, and years later, they'll come back to the, He'll bring you back to the right path. But as that old country singer used to sing, wasted days and wasted nights, all those years, you know. So here's how we're supposed to live as Christians. We're supposed to live by biblical principles. It's laid out in God's Word. Here's a principle. You throw something up, it comes down. That's gravity. That's a principle. You know. It's a principle that if you breathe, you live. If you don't breathe, you die. You know. So we're going to find some things in the Bible that tell us how to live and let Him direct our paths other than our feelings. Most people live on their feelings. Most people live on their feelings. Let's be honest. Our feelings control us more than anything else. And God gave us the feelings. So what we've got to do is learn how to live by principles and make our feelings match the principles, not change and make principle to match our feelings. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
We live by biblical principles. Here's some principles, biblical principles. Repent, believe, and you'll be saved. That's a biblical. There's no other way to do it.
That's right.
Turn from your sins, turn to Christ, call on Him, ask Him to save you, and you'll be saved. Here's a principle. Repent, believe, be baptized, and that's showing your faith in His death, burial, and resurrection that you're not ashamed of Christ. Here's a biblical principle. Get saved, repent, get saved, believe, be baptized, join a local congregation, and then live for Christ. Live for Christ, and He'll bless you. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy paths. Here's a principle. Tithes and offerings is a principle. Here's a principle. Church is a principle. He says, forsake not to assemble ourselves together. Worshiping the Lord is a principle. I'm talking about Bible principles. Personal sanctification. Don't let that word upset you. It means right living. Separating yourself from some things. That's a biblical principle. You can't be a good Christian not separate yourself from some things and some people. You have to do that. Live right. Here's one. Read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow. We've seen that in children's church. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink. That's a biblical principle.
Amen.
And so you're just afraid of those big words like principles and sanctification. Here's a principle. The family is a biblical principle.
Amen.
One man, one woman. Did I say that?
Amen.
One male, one female.
Amen.
And then if God blesses, you have children. You have children. And that's the order. Husband, wife, children. Not children, wife, husband.
Amen.
That's the principle. Two parents. Two parents. That means one male, one female.
Amen.
Now, boys. Page one. At the end, I've got Billy Burgess eats chicken. There's not a safe chicken in the town of Rock Hill today with Billy Burgess here. They're all got the death sentence on them, every one of them. Here's another one. You work. Work is a biblical principle.
Amen.
I'm leading somewhere. Pay attention. You don't work, you starve.
Amen.
The Bible says that, man. Don't work, you'll not eat. That's pretty simple, ain't it? until you get politicians involved. Listen, a biblical principle is that we work not because we have to pay God, but because God gave us the strength and the help to work, to do what we need to do in this old world, and to glorify Him. Everywhere I ever went to work, I surrendered to preach at like 25 years old, and everywhere I went to work, people, they were afraid to hire me because they were afraid I'd stand up on a table and preach. And they'd say, well, what do you, why would you think you would make a good employee here? I said, because I'm going to do everything as unto the Lord. And I had one job for 6 years, that for five out of those 6 years, I hated every day of it. Preachers hate too, you know that, don't you? I hated that place. I hated what I was doing. The people around me didn't like me, and I didn't care a whole lot about liking them either. They had mistreated me so bad. But I worked. Why? Because we had to pay bills. And my wife was at home with babies, and we had to feed the babies. Amen? And so a biblical principle is that man goes to work, and that woman can stay home and raise children. Now, I know everybody don't have children. That's fine. And I know some women have to go to work because their husband won't work. That's all right. God will take care of that later on. Amen. I know some women have to work because their husband left them. Or she had to run him off, whatever the case may be. But the biblical principle is that. Work, pay your debts. Tithe, first 10% belongs to God. Pay your debts. Be honest. Ain't nobody going to listen to your Christian testimony if you don't pay your bills. And then pleasure. That's the order of money. God, bills, then pleasure. You don't buy the 72-inch screen TV and then not pay your tithe. You don't buy the $24,000 car and then not pay your light bill. You don't go to Myrtle Beach on your tax refund. Oh, it's going to get good. You don't go to Myrtle Beach on your tax refund when you owe everybody in town. You work. You tithe. You pay your bills. Then if you got anything left, you can have some pleasure out of it. Well, I ain't got nothing left. Well, whose fault was that? We didn't do that to you. God didn't do that to you. You did that. But see, that's a biblical principle. Yeah. Here's the way most people do it. They work, pleasure, bills, God. And then they go to church and say, look what God gave me. And I look at them and I thought, well, I don't know who tithes and who don't, but I guarantee you, if you didn't tithe, God didn't give you that. The devil did.
Come on, bro.
See, you work, you tithe, you pay your bills. Y'all young people listening to me now, pay your bills. Did I say pay your bills?
Yes.
Pay your bills. Then pleasure.
Yeah.
Or you can do like one of our brothers here, just build your house on the golf course. And sit over there every day and watch them play golf. But that's all he's doing right with the rest of it. But a lot of people look, they go, pleasure, bills, God. Now that's a biblical principle. You'll see him turn red when I did that. I don't know how good he plays golf, but I bet he plays good because his daddy's played and taught him how to play, and he does live next door to the golf course. Of course, if I ever play over there, he'll move because every ball I hit will knock out a window. Oh, man. Crash. Ron's back. We got to move. But there's biblical principles, and you get those out of order, it doesn't work.
Amen.
I got a physical principle. You have an automobile. You put gasoline in it. And you drive. You drive. You have an automobile. You don't put gasoline in it. You will not drive. Is that pretty good?
Yeah.
When I was 15, I had a 61 Chevrolet Bel Air. Four-door, green and white. You knew you was going down the road, there was a hole in the back floorboard about that big around. You could see the road go by if you pulled up that carpet. did you know, at 15, I didn't have a real job, and I never had enough money to buy gas. And there's many times I tell them boys in the car with me, give me a quarter. Somebody give me a quarter. I have gotten a quarter's worth of gas before. But gas what? But 28.9 per gallon. So I had a gallon of gas. And sometimes I get 4 quarters. We could ride 5 hours on 4 quarters all around town, round and round and round and round. But there's some things, look, it's just common sense, and there's some things that are common biblical sins. But the problem with the generation we live in, even those that call themselves Christians, don't know anything about the Bible. They don't read the Bible. And I'm going to show you some principles why that is that way. Here's a health principle. Oh man, Lord protect me. You eat right or you die early. That's pretty simple, ain't it? There's some people don't eat right and they starve themselves to death. Then there's other people don't eat right and they feed themselves to death. Somewhere you got to get right. You got to get right. Hang on. You move or you die. People retire and they get that lazy boy, and the lazy boy makes a lazy boy out of the lazy boy. And you prop up your feet and you watch television and you forget about eating right. You don't move and you die. Now when you were 16, you could eat anything and everything that come in your path, live or dead, prepared or not, cooked or not. You could eat it. Wouldn't get fat. No, wouldn't have a heart attack, wouldn't get diabetes, but as you get older, your metabolism slows down. It burns up that food less than it used to. And then you know what we do? We slow down too. What was that old song they used to sing? He said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Keep moving. Keep moving. Here's another one. Listen, you still with me?
Yeah.
You read, you study, excuse me, you read, you study, and I'm not even talking about the Bible. You read, you study, you grow mentally, or you die early mentally. You know what the number one prevention of Alzheimer's dementia is? Using your brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And we let the TV think for us and the radio think for us, and we don't read. I'd be scared to ask how many people in this room by raising their hands still read. You'd be shocked how many people do not read anymore. Now you can sit and listen to something and not hear it. You can sit and stare at something, not see it. But if you don't read, your brain will get rusty and you'll get Alzheimer's or dementia. And that's a principle. That's a health principle. Here's one. You make friends or you die lonely. I told my grandson yesterday, I started talking to him about Proverbs. I explained what Proverbs was. He's now in the first grade, super intelligent. Of course, everybody's grandkids are. And I talked to him about Proverbs, you know, and told him about Proverbs. And I said, son, if a man is to have friends, he must show himself friendly. If you withdraw from everybody, don't complain about not having any friends. You did that. They didn't do that. There's some people in this room that will talk to anybody. If the devil showed up, they'd talk to him. But they got a lot of friends. I ain't even on the hard stuff yet. These are principles. Would you agree with me? These are just common sense principles that people used to live by.
Yes.
Amen. Here's another one. The government was established in the United States of America and biblically for our protection.
Amen.
And that's it. Nothing else. Y'all sit there and act like you don't believe me because you've been watching too much TV. Go read the Constitution. The government was established mainly for the protection of the citizens of the United States of America. And that's it. The early states didn't even want to unite with each other. Before the Civil War, all these states were separate nations unto themselves almost. and especially in the South.
Amen.
And when the Northerners come down, the reason the South was most mad was because there's a bunch of states up there telling my state what to do.
Amen.
I'm not saying that they were right about everything, but I'm saying this. The government was established for your protection.
Right.
Not to feed you. Not to clothe you.
Amen.
Not to send your kids to school.
Yeah.
Not to pay their college tuition.
Right.
You ain't mad at me, are you? That's it. Our protection. So when the president says, I killed the head of ISIS, I say, glory to God, he did his job. When the president said, I got the worst terrorists in the world, he spread terrorism, I can't pronounce those names, I think I'm cussing sometime when I try. So, listen, when he got that guy, I said, amen, he's doing his job. But if he says, I'm going to put 500,000 more people on welfare, I said, we need to find another president. That's not his job. His job is to protect me and my house, that's it. Not mad yet, are you?
No.
The government, according to biblical standards, was created by God.
Amen.
He sets the kings up, it says, and he sets them down. And, hey, it never had all those little, and I can't think of the words to use, but all those little congressmen and all those little senators and all those little representatives, none of that's in the Bible that they should go there at, to get rich.
That's right. Amen.
They do. I don't want the government passing any more laws.
Yeah.
Not one.
Amen.
They don't enforce the ones they've already passed.
Amen.
Right. And for a politician to get up and say, well, I'm going to pass this bill, I think, well, why don't you enforce the ones we've already voted on?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just getting headlines. That's all you're doing.
Amen.
There's this thing called clickbait now. They call it clickbait. Got nothing to do with catfish. Clickbait. Remember, the Bible doesn't say money's the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. These people have found out every time that you click on a website, it's counted. We have them on our website. We can tell you how many people clicked on our church website. We can tell you where they live, what state, what city they're in. We can't give you their house, don't know their house address, but we can give you their computer address.
Yeah.
Not street, but every computer has IP address.
Yeah.
We can do that. It's click. They click, it's registered. They click, it's registered. And politicians and crooks in our country today, and the news media throw out these crazy headlines and stuff in order to get you to read the headline. And they know you're not going to read the whole article. They're after you to click that headline. Now, here's why. Is this working? That's working.
Yes.
Here's why. The more clicks they get, the farther they move up in position in that news media realm or that political realm. And the farther they move up, the farther their salary moves up.
Amen.
The coronavirus is a good example.
Yes.
One person died in Washington State yesterday, and they called a national emergency.
Yes.
And I'll guarantee you, if you'll go check, there was probably 35 or 40 people died of pneumonia yesterday in the same state. I'm not saying virus is not real. The only thing worse about this virus is we don't have a vaccination for it.
Right.
I take flu shot every year. I have for years. When I was younger, even as a teenager and a young person, I caught the flu at least once a year up till I took that flu shot. Sometimes I'd get it twice a year. There are usually two types of flu going through the nation all the time. And by the way, summertime's coming, there's no summer flu.
Right.
There's summer colds. There's no summer flu. But I'd get, and then I started getting the flu shot, and I didn't get, and to prove it, just a few years ago, I forgot to get the flu shot, and I got the flu. And thousands of people die, even in South Carolina, die from the flu. If you got respiratory problems, you got COPD, you got heart trouble or something like that, you're more susceptible to die from things like that than if this teenager gets it, she'll be over it in 2 weeks. But clickbait says this. I'm going to say something outstandingly great. And everybody's going to click on it. And I'm going to get voted in. Or I'm going to be promoted. And I'm going to get a raise. And one day I might even be the anchor man. It's the truth.
Yeah.
The government is not here to keep us healthy, wealthy, or wise. The government is here to protect our freedom from foreign invaders or revolutionaries inside. Y'all still with me? I'm kind of concerned about coronavirus since I don't have a vaccination. But I've been reading this stuff and studying this stuff, and it's about 1.2% that anybody dies from it in any group of people, and flu is more than that. You see, they're trying to scare us.
Yes.
They're trying to scare us into voting for them. Mm-hmm. They're trying to scare us into clicking on so they can move up a rung on that promotional whatever they're involved in. And I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it. Let me go on. Man, my time's up already, but I'm going to go on anyway. I've never stopped for that before. Here's another one. The church. The church is here to help you and your family,
amen,
not replace you and your family.
Yeah.
I don't expect the government to feed my family, and I don't expect the church to feed my family. Now, if you need some food, we do those things. We do. We take up money. We help people. But that's not really what the church is here for. The church is here, not here to raise my kids. I raise my kids. The church is not here to keep my marriage together. It will help, but me and my wife's here to keep our marriage together. The church is not here to read the Bible for me. I'm here to read the Bible for me. The church is not here to pray for me. I'm here to pray for me. Y'all still with me? These are just biblical common sense principles. Now here's the problem, and I'll quit. With all these things, I done named a bunch of them, haven't I? I wish you'd wrote them down so you'd give them back to me. I could preach this again one day. Here's the problem. Mostly, think about it. I want you to listen real close. Don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. Mostly, not all, most of us were raised wrong in the first place.
Amen.
Now, you'll thank God if you had a mom and dad that was saved and going to heaven and they taught you the Bible and they took you to Sunday school and they took you to church. You ought to praise God. You ought to be so happy about that. You got such a head start on the rest of us. But most of us were raised wrong. Even those that were raised in church. Raised wrong. We were taught, now listen, listen to me y'all, look up here, listen. We were taught to depend on institutions. An institution is a group or a governing body above and beyond you and your family. We were taught to depend on institutions. I don't know when it happened, somewhere in the 40s, Christians coming home from World War II and families had been broken up because of the war and the man had to go away and the woman had to work and the Christian home just was really destroyed. And then they came home, and those parents, they started having babies, and they wanted to give those babies everything they'd never had. So my generation of baby boomers, I was born in 1954, I was right close to the end of that generation, we were ruined. We were taught to depend on institutions. Because you know Mr. Roosevelt came along not long before World War II, and he straightened everything out according to the government, and people began to depend on the government.
Right. Yeah.
My mama was born in 1919, and she voted for Roosevelt, and she said, she told me when she was 80-something years old, I told her I was Republican, I thought she was going to disown me. She said, I voted Democrat because of what Roosevelt did for our nation, and I'll vote Democrat until the day I die. And that's what she believed till the day she died. Good people. Good people. Taught to believe in institutions, that institutions could save you. Institutions could make your life better. Institutions could prosper you. Ray's wrong. And I'm going to go this far, and don't get mad at me, but even some, as we came through those years, a lot of them turned their children over to the church to raise them. I don't mean they lived in church. I'm just saying they depended on the church to tell their children everything that's right and wrong and teach them Scripture, and then they'd go home and watch Ozzie and Harriet or Mayberry, and no Scripture was ever read at home, and nobody ever taught biblical principles at the house. You had to go down to church to get that.
Right. Yeah.
And if somebody was sick, you had to go to church to get that fixed. If somebody was out of the way or in sin, you had to get in touch with the church to fix that. Here's the problem with that. Institutions change.
Come on now, yeah.
All institutions change because they're owned and operated by sinful fallen men and women. This church is an institution. And I believe this church is as close to the New Testament church as any church in this town.
Amen.
But you come back here 30, 40 years from now, and you may not even recognize what's being taught and preached in here. And if you're depending on your family to get what they need from God, you put it all on the church, you're making a mistake. Now this is where we send out the truth. This is where the Bible's taught. But if that's, some of you get 1 hour a week. Some of these kids get 1 hour a week. That's 4 hours a month of biblical teaching, and you cannot survive on 4 hours a month of biblical teaching. You ought to bring them to church more, yes, but you ought to teach them at home too.
Amen.
Yes. Well, Daddy, why don't we do that? Because that's a sin, baby. Well, how do you know it's a sin, Daddy? Well, let me read it to you. But the problem is your mom and dad didn't teach you how to find that either. And maybe your grandma and grandpa didn't teach you how to find that. They depended on the church to do it. That church ought to do that, but 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, if we're lucky, we might get 4 out of you. When mom and dad's got you all week long and they turn you over to the computer and the iPad and the iPhone and the music of the world and the things of the world, some of you'd be shocked to know what kids even look at now. But we're going to take them down to church. Preacher will straighten them out Sunday. There's no way you can do that. There's no way. Institutions change. There's churches in this town. I've been around since, I've been saved since 78, been preaching since 80, got licensed in 81. Now, listen to me. There's churches in this town that don't preach or teach the Bible anything like they used to.
Come on now, yeah.
Some have completely gone to the other side. I heard one this morning taking Baptists off their church sign because they don't want to offend anybody. Well, here's what I think that is. That's a lying sign. If you preach the Bible and you believe in biblical principles like we do, and we say we believe in the Bible and we say we're Baptists, then why would you want to lie to people and draw them into your church and you're a Baptist church, but you won't even put Baptists on your sign because you're ashamed of it?
Come on, man.
Yeah.
institutions change. Bible principles never change.
Amen.
You know, since I've been saved, I've been a part of, I don't know, 5 churches. Yeah. And I left one because of biblical principles. The other 2 I left because pastor died and it changed. Y'all still with me? We were taught that the government institution is to fix it all. Well, the government, Mr. Sanders is going to fix this. I'll never have to pay to go to college. He's lying to you. The man's a crook. I don't care who you vote for. Vote for whoever you want to. But Donald Trump, as much as I like what he's doing, he is no Sunday school teacher. I didn't vote for a Sunday school teacher. I wouldn't have him for a Sunday school teacher. Amen. If come here, he'd have to make a profession of faith, and I'd baptize himself, and all that hair show how bald he is like me. But I loved old guy as a president. I loved Teddy Roosevelt. He cussed like a sailor. I loved Andrew Jackson. He shot a man, got shot himself twice in duels. But they were presidents. They were political. They were military leaders. They protected their country. God raises them up and God puts them down. But I don't trust a government to grow my family, to grow me, to take care of my family. God does that through biblical principles. The church, the church is there as a tool for God to inform and to give and to teach those biblical principles. I don't watch Bernie Sanders so much I'm starting to look like him. If he preached like me, he'd get elected. Listen, they taught us to trust institutions, not biblical principles. Now, institutions are raising our children of the third and the fourth generation. My daughter works with trouble kids, discipline trouble type kids. That's not a failure of God or God's word. That's a failure of an institution because the family turned that child over to an institution instead of raising the child himself.
Amen.
I was one of those kids. My mama loved God. She loved Jesus. She got saved when she was 40-something years old. I was a young teenager by then. She couldn't do a whole lot with me. But she should have whooped my hiney and drugged me down to the church and said, you sit here and you listen to this preacher, you can get saved. Because she didn't know how to tell me how to get saved. And the cussing at my house quit after she got saved, and the drinking quit after she got saved, and all the strange men quit after she got saved. But she turned me over to an institution called the government, public schools and all these things to do her job for her because she had to go to work because she had no husband. Some of you grew up the same way. Institutions fail. God's principles never fail. Look. Real simple. Government. Schools. I got one. I talked about the sickness. It's 15 after and y'all probably going to get a sneeze and go to the emergency room anyway because you've been watching television. But here's an institution. We have turned our health over to hospitals and clinics and doctors.
Yeah.
You know who ought to control your health? You!
Yes.
Did you know you can disagree with a doctor?
Yes.
Did you know you can tell him that?
Yes.
Did you know you don't have to take that prescription?
Amen.
Did you know they get paid by writing prescriptions?
Listen.
You know what a surgeon gets paid for? Cutting things off.
Yeah.
Not healing you. Dismembering you.
That's right.
Some of you have been under the knife. You know what I'm talking about. I used to have a prettiest nose, and I turned it over to a surgeon, and he butchered my nose. And I stood in front of that mirror a couple weeks later, and I wasn't getting nose surgery; I was getting cancer surgery. And I looked in that mirror, and all it was all done, and I started crying. That man's ruined my face. He's ruined my nose. But in that case, I had to do it or die with the cancer. Now listen to me. That's an institution. You know how to take care of your health. Eat right.
Yeah.
Sleep right.
Yes.
Stay off as many pills as possible.
Yes.
Stay off as many alcoholic things as possible. Buy you some collard greens,
yeah,
and turnip greens.
Yeah.
Brother Mike, poor brother Mike, he don't know how to eat right. He come from Ohio or somewhere up there where they don't know how to eat turnip greens. He said they take that turnip and they pull it up out of the ground,
yeah,
and they chop the greens off and throw them away, and they eat that nasty tasting, bitter tasting, almost no tasting turnip. And it had no value to it. Should have got the greens. They got iron and everything else in it. You'll try that. It helped. Just trust me. Just trust me. Try it. You put enough bacon grease on, you ain't anything. This fellow was talking about the hunting dogs one time. This fellow said, "What do you feed your hunting dogs?" He said, "Collard greens." He said, "Collard greens? My dog never would eat collard greens." He said, "Mine wouldn't either for the first 2 weeks." Your health depends on you.
Right.
I've been to the doctor and he write me prescriptions and I didn't argue with him. And I go out and I said, "Nope.
Yep.
Nope. I'll take this one." I don't trust an institution. I don't go to hospital and say, "Y'all fix me."
Amen.
They'll cut the wrong hand off.
Amen.
Amen. If I go in there and went to get something cut off, and especially at Piedmont, you better make sure that they put an X on it before you go back there and surgery, because they've been known to cut the wrong finger off. Amen. You've got to do that. You got to take control of yourself and quit turning yourself over to institutions. One last one that I saved just for last because I knew it would make you the maddest. The entertainment industry is an institution.
Yes, it is.
And they want to control your politics, and they want to control your spirituality, and they want to turn your children into sexual perverts and drug addicts. My daughter's sitting right there, Chester. There were some things that wasn't that bad, but my kids didn't get listen to it because all the trash you had to go through to get to it. There's some things on TV that wasn't that bad, but you had to go through all that other trash to get to it. Man told me one time, he said, "Brother Ron, if you don't quit being so hard on your kids, you're going to lose them." How many times have we ever heard that? We've heard it many times. You know who told me that? A man who wasn't raised right. Well, you got to give him freedom. A child left unto himself doesn't have freedom. He has total confusion.
Right.
And the institution, there's one institution, it's really not an institution, it's an organism called the family. The family ought to raise their own children.
Right.
The new politicians is putting in for daycare from the cradle to the grave.
That's right.
Ladies, even if you have to work, even if your husband's sorry or he ain't there and that makes him sorry, but even if you got to work, you don't need to turn a six months old baby over to a government institution or a government sponsored institution. You don't know who those people are. You don't know where they come from. And you wouldn't hire most of them if you run the place.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Our families have been destroyed. Our schools have been destroyed. Our government is being destroyed. The health industry is being destroyed. I ain't even going to get on the banks. It's been destroyed. The media has been destroyed. And the devil's working real hard on the church right now. Proverbs 3:6. I'll read it one more time. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he..." Not they. "He shall direct thy path." You get you some biblical principles in your life. You say, "Well, the Bible says this. This is what I'm going to do." And I'd have more respect for you if you chose the wrong verse and did something wrong than to do nothing at all.
Yeah.
Come on,
Matthew.
Yeah.
Now, some, maybe you're not saved today and you think I'm crazy. And maybe I am a little bit crazy. I'm not of this world. I'm unworldly.
Amen.
And I don't have any respect for the institution of this world.
Yeah, right.
But I tell you one thing I've got respect for is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. And it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Then after you get saved, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He'll direct thy path. If you're not saved today, why don't you come on up? We're going to give the invitation. Come on.